Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We take a look at a phrase that's here, and may the Lord help us and bless us together. You pray that we might hear from the Lord, and the Lord might speak to us out of His Word this morning. Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage to you. We want to go in here and pick out just a phrase, a few words, and deal with that this morning. The Lord's been dealing with me about this and about a message or so regarding this particular subject. And so let's see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just breaking in, even, okay? That's just getting started, okay? I believe is what that indication is there. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The words that I want us to concentrate upon this morning, the small phrase that's here in verse number 2, and it says here, and be not conformed to this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you, Father, for health and strength and life that you've given unto us, Father, that we might assemble ourselves together with your people at this place that we've dedicated to your service, Father. And Lord, that as your church, your building, Father, we are able to meet together to worship you, to sing praises to your name, to bring our petition and our prayer before you, to give of the blessing and the wealth and the things that you've given us, the provision you've given us, that we might give back of that for your service here. And Lord, for the work of the ministry here and amongst your people and in this community. And Lord, we thank you that we can meet together to hear your word. And we pray, Father, I pray now that you take me out of the way and just use me to speak. And Lord, that we might, each one here would not hear me speaking, Father, but that we all together might hear you speaking to us through your word. Help now, we pray, Father. We need you to meet with us, and we pray, Father, that you would. And we pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved, Lord, that you might touch them, that you might visit them, Lord, that you might open their hearts and their eyes and their ears, Father, that they might see Jesus precious to the salvation of their souls. Work in it and bless, Father, as you only can. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. It says here in verse number 2 of Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world. Here, this word conformed, if we take a look at the Greek word for that, and I'm no Greek scholar, but I'm able to take a Strong's and look into that and a Strong's Concordance and take a look at these words to try to get an understanding about them. If we take a look at this word, it's the meaning of it or a way to describe it is to fashion alike, okay, to take and to move and prepare and to work upon in many different ways as we could to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern, okay, in a figurative sense, to conform to or to fashion self according to that. The Lord says here, be not conformed to this world. This world, this word, this Greek word is taken from some other words, and this word that it's taken from is speaking about union, okay? We understand about union, a fitting together, a putting together, to be with or to be together, a union, an association, a companionship process. It's from that word that this word used here in Romans chapter 2, conformed, is drawn from. It's also drawn from another word or a derivative of the word that talks about a figure, okay? Something that we look at, like there is a figure of an eagle on top of the flag. Okay, so there is a shape to it. There's a figure to it. And so it speaks of that. And that word used here in Romans chapter 2 is drawn from or brought from, as we understand it, from those two words, a union and a shape. Okay, and he says here, be not conformed to this world. We want to remind ourselves, and from the scripture, take a mental check here about what the Lord says about the word, James to the world, James chapter 4. Take a look here. The apostle James the Less, I believe, dealing with the saints. He's writing his brethren, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting there in that verse number 1 of chapter 1 of James. He's talking to them about different things that are essential. He's speaking to the saved. And so from that, even though it's he directs it to his brethren, the Jews, he is also directing it, I believe, to his brethren in the Lord. Okay, that's you and me. We've got much instruction that we can gain from the book of James. And here in James chapter 4, we're reminded about something about the world. Be not conformed to this world. Okay? Don't take the figure of, don't take the fashion of the world. In James chapter 4, we read here, and let's read in verse number 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust or your desires that war in your members?" That's within you, each one of you individually. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Clamor, clamor, clamor after something that each one desires. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You've got things backwards, the apostle tells, and the Lord tells, and said, you're striving for it after your way rather than asking the Lord to work. You've got a plan, you've got a way that you're pursuing after it, and it's leading to nothing but strife and contention. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. When you do ask, you're asking that you may consume it upon your lust. Verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Pretty sharp words, huh? That's what he's saying, you adulterers. He's speaking to the children of God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. An adulterer, one that would go out on their spouse. He said, he's not accusing them necessarily, I believe he's not accusing them in the context of the scripture of going out on their spouses. That's not it. But he's talking about you're going out on the way of Christ. You're going out on Christ. There is that sense, that very real sense, in that the Lord's church is the bride of Christ. And in that, you and I, even as men or as women and the children of God, we are married to Christ in his church. We are espoused unto him. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or hatred with God? Being a friend of the world is hatred, enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Taking up the world's way and dealing with your problems, your issues, the things that come upon you in life, taking up the world's way, it's hatred, it's enmity with the Lord, it's strife with the fellowship that you have with the Lord. You need to be going to the Lord for what it is that you need. And not just asking so that you can consume it upon your own desire, to use it up for yourself. But you need to be seeking the Lord's will and the Lord's help and all these things. But we have a reminder here about the world. The way of the world, the things of the world. And when we take that way and we listen to that contrary to what the Word of God says, it's enmity. It causes strife between us and the Lord, because the Lord wants us paying attention to Him. When we trust in the things of this world and we put our hope and our rest and our reliance upon them, rather than the Lord. It is the Lord that gives provision. We just took up an offering, and you've given of that which the Lord has blessed you with, that the provision that the Lord has provided you with. But is your trust in that other part that's left, or is your trust in the Lord? That other part, it can go away on us in a hurry, can it? Something can come up and it just go away. Is our trust upon, well, what's in the treasury that Brother Mark gave us in the business meeting the other night, is our trust in those dollars that are there, or is our trust upon the Lord? Well, we need to be good stewards, yes. But if the till gets down so low, are we just going to throw our hands up and give up? Okay? He said to trusting in the things and looking to the things of the world, friendship, the friendship of the world is enmity, is hatred with God. In 1 John chapter 2, I trust that you maybe remember this passage and what's said here. 1 John chapter 2, let's take a look here. In verse number 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, a reminder about the world. Remember Romans 12, 2 said, be not conformed. Be not taking the shape or fashioning yourselves like the world. Don't take and adopt the figure, the look of the world, the shape of the things of the world. And we're getting a reminder here about the world. Friendship with the world is enmity, is hatred with God. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Quite a contrast, huh? A love and a care and a desire and a yearning and a clamor for the things of the world, it will displace a love of the Lord. We can't have it both ways. The Lord says much, and they count it in the Gospels that he says you can't serve God and mammon. We use the blessings that the Lord's given us, but we receive that from him. And is our trust in the stuff, or is the trust in our Father, our Heavenly Father? How is it with us? And I tell you what, there's seemingly at times there's a fine line between that, isn't there? There's a fine line that's there. The Lord blesses with work. The Lord blesses with provision. But are we trusting in the Lord? Are we trusting in that stuff? Are we trusting in our 401k? Are we trusting in the Lord? If those things are taken away from us, will we then quit trusting in the Lord? May the Lord help us. And only you can answer that for you. But here the apostle writes, he says, the love of the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, doesn't say most, does it? Doesn't say 99.9%, does it? But it says all. For all that is in the world, and here's some things that define that, the lust of the flesh. That's just not talking about sensual desire or the desire of the body that is there that the Lord has made that's to be partaken of in marriage and that between a husband and a wife. It's not just talking about those things, but it's talking about anything, something that you just really, really, really like to do. Okay? It's not necessarily that word lust. We associate that with sensuality, but it can be something, it can just be me being obsessed about going out and doing work, working out there in the garage. My desire for that, I just pursue that and pursue that and pursue that, and it displaces that which I'm supposed to be doing. And my responsibility before the Lord, my responsibility as a husband, as a father, as a parent, as a pastor. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desire of the eyes. We see and we say, I want that. I got to have that. Things maybe that it'll even lead to covetousness. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We thinking that we're in control. I'm going to go do this tomorrow. I'm going to go buy, sell, and trade, and I'm going to make me a pile of cash. All right, and that way, that what he goes on to tell us about? The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So a reminder about the world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. If we go on in the scripture and we take a look, there's only one other in the way that the word conformed is used there in Romans chapter 2. And as it is translated and brought to us in the English, 1 Peter chapter 1 has the other account of that exact word. Let's take a look there. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse number 13. Be not conformed to this world. And the world and the love of the world, the love of the things of the world is enmity with God. It's strife. It's conflict. It breaks down the fellowship. Can only put one as preeminent. It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the world. That's just the way that it is. We can't serve both. Can't straddle the fence. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13, listen to what the scripture says. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore? There's some things that he's talked to them about. He's talked to them about who he's speaking to. He's talking about their election in the Lord, their sanctification in the Lord. In verse number 2, he speaks about their obedience to the word of the Lord that's come. The lively hope in verse 3 that's promised by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The inheritance in verse number 4 that the Lord has promised. Okay, we're kept by the power of God in verse 5, and we greatly rejoice in that in verse 6, even though we're greatly tempted. the trial of our faith. It's like gold that's being refined, verse number 7. So hang on, don't despair, but keep your eyes upon the Lord. It's the blessing and working of God. We've not seen the Lord, verse 8, but we love him because he's first loved us, amen, and we believe in him and we rejoice in him and we long to see him. We look forward to the receiving of the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, as it said here, to enjoy that complete salvation of the Lord. Our souls are saved now, but one day this old body and this old brain's going to be saved, okay? And he reminds them about that. The salvation that has been given and the Lord has conveyed through the prophets to his word, and they look diligently in it, and they prophesied of these things that have come unto you, that Peter is preaching to we that are in the church age after the crucifixion and burial and resurrection, after the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back on those things, and in Christ those things were fulfilled, and even we that live in the day that we live in, we're in the day of prophecy that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints, it's at any time. We may witness it. And there's been millions that have been saved before that will never be able to see that, but you and I may. Just like the saints in that day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw him alive again. We may get to see him come in the clouds. And so he tells about how the word comes through the prophets, and they in verse 11, searching what or what manner the time of Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and those things that would be done. You think about Isaiah as he writes. Does he not wonder what he's writing about? And he's there being moved upon by the Lord. But you think about those passages telling about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's going to do and what he's going to accomplish as our brother is moved of the Lord to write that. And in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. They wrote those things down. They passed those things down that we have received, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. He's saying it's been revealed unto you. You've got to see it. You've got to experience it. You're on the end of it, that all the information, all the account, all the prophesying, and all the accomplishment of it has been done, and you look back towards it. He said it's a blessing. There's our brethren that have lived back in that time that the Lord used to bring his word and would open up a little bit more about what he's going to do, and they wanted to see it, but they just couldn't see it all because it hadn't been revealed yet. But we do. We get to see it. And he says, wherefore, get yourself together. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, listen, here it is. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, there's the same word. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according. Same word. Be not conformed. Don't fashion yourself according. It came from those words that talk about a figure that we see that we would look to make ourselves match that figure of the world. He says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former desires or lust in your ignorance when you didn't know, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Every bit of your conversation, be holy like God is holy. Don't shape yourself. Don't mold yourself. Don't take and fashion yourself to the way the world is. Don't fashion yourself to that which the Lord has saved you from. Okay? Don't do that. Don't back up. Don't back up in the service of the Lord, but go forward. But as he, with verse 15, which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What you think, what you say, and what you do, because it is written, in several places in the Old Testament scriptures, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we see here another account of this word conformed, or as it's rendered here, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, not fashioning ourselves. I want to ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Have you and I, have we evaluated every aspect of our lives since we have been saved according to the Scripture? Everything that you do, I'm talking about everything. Everything that you do, have you evaluated that according to the Scripture since you've been saved? Because see, remember, what the brother just shared with us, what the Scripture bears out is, we were ignorant. And we very much did fashion our lives and our way according to the course of this world. And since we've been saved from that. And have we taken every aspect of our lives and evaluated according to the Scripture that if it needs to be changed, that we need to not fashion that way, but fashion another way? Have we done so? Only you can answer that for you. Are there items in our lives that are exactly the same as they were before we were saved? Well, Brother Jim, I still do the same work that I did. Good. But if the Lord, if you worked at a bar and the Lord saved you, do you still work there? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Have you taken, and are there things that in your life that from when before the Lord saved you that are exactly the same now? But if you took the Scripture and you pushed up there close to it with that, it might challenge you about it. We need to consider these things. Be not conformed to this world. Are there some things, there are some things in my life before the Lord saved me that I conform to the world. But when the Lord saved me, either then immediately upon saving me or in time with the meeting out of His Word, the Lord convicted me about things, and there's things that I put out of my life, that I don't need to be doing that. I don't need to be talking that way. I don't need to be thinking that way. I don't need to be doing this or that or the other. Not to please some brother or some sister. Not to please my pastor. But to please my Lord. Because He doesn't want me looking like the world. He doesn't want me shaped like the world. Have you and I evaluated every aspect of our lives since we have been saved according to the Scripture? Are there items in our lives that are exactly the same as they were before we were saved? Or are there items that there's been no change? Should there have been a change? Our text says, be not conformed to this world. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here we have a promise. It's a promise. It's a guaranteed you, this is the way it is, you can't do a thing about changing it kind of promise, okay? It comes from God. You're familiar with this passage, I know, but maybe we've never considered or not considered it in this light. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. We like this one. This is a passage that we enjoy. And even that passage before there, verse 27, that intercession of the Lord. It's a blessing, isn't it? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. It's the truth, isn't it? It all works for good, even though my skin doesn't like it. It's for good because I'm a child of the King. I'm the child. I've got a heavenly Father who loves me. He will not allow anything to come my way that will not be for my good. It may hurt my flesh. I may be very sickly. I may end up laid up. But it's good. He says it's good. Isn't that what it says? He says here, and we know, I pray that we do, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, because for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate He foreknew me. Not looking down in time and seeing that I would react to the gospel, but he chose me. He foreknew me. He loved me way, way back, before way, way back even started. Amen? Right. He did. And you know what? He predetermined. He predestined what? What's it say? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Be not conformed to this world. God's ordered it that you and I be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, what's the image? Well, it's like a figure. It's a likeness. It's a revealing. It's a showing forth. What's it go on to say in that verse? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How many of you have siblings? Is there not characteristics in the form and the figure and the likeness of siblings that you can generally tell they're related? Amen? I know there's exceptions. I know there's exceptions. But in that generally the way that it is, you find likenesses. You say, I see your mama in you, and I see your daddy in you, and I see that in you all, that you all look alike. Or I see your grandma in you, I see your grandpa in you, and I see this in you, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn amongst many that favor him. Amen? The Lord's predestined, he's preordained that it be that way. That we look like Christ. Be conformed to his image. Be conformed to his likeness. How is it with you and me? If we take a look at this, and this word conformed, it's not the same as the others, but it has the same root. It does come in and of itself. This word conformed here in Romans 8:29 speaks about being jointly formed. I find that interesting. As Christ is formed, I am formed. I know he was before us, but the way he is formed, he being my brother, are we not joint heirs with Christ? You're joint heirs with your siblings. Have we not been adopted by the Father? Yeah. Aren't we supposed to be favoring our brother, our Savior, our God who died for us? Amen. Amen. This word here, this Greek word here, predestined or to be conformed to, it has the same root as that word conformed over there in Romans chapter 12. And it also has a root that pronounced in the English is morphe. And we take a look at that passage there in Romans chapter 12. We'll go on to where there's a transforming there of our minds, a metamorphosis of our minds that's to be taking place. We're not going to take a look at that now. But jointly formed is how we would say this in the English. This union, this shaping, this form that God, the Father, has predestined that you and I as his children should be taken on that form of the image of his Son. I know some of you have wondered about this, haven't you? I'm not much on illustrations. That's just my way. But the Lord, I trust, has blessed me with this and spoke to me through it. And in it, the Lord is our rock, isn't he? I'm blessed with a wife that I can, as I travel across the country, if I can find a nice looking rock, I've got me a present for her. I got this one at an intersection there on U.S. 67, I believe it is, or 61 or 67. There at Farmington, Missouri. They had to blast out between these hills to put in an intersection there, and that whole intersection is riddled with this granite. This is granite. It's hard. It's hard as a rock. It is a rock. Amen. It is. Now, our Lord's a rock, isn't he? He's got substance, doesn't he? He's solid and steadfast, isn't he? There's no moving him, is there? What's the Lord liken you and I to in the Scripture? Aren't we likened to clay? Is clay solid? No. Clay can be formed, can it? Aren't we likened to a vapor? Appears for a little while and then it goes away. But what's our Lord likened to, and what's the answer to him, and what's told about him? He's a rock. He never changes. He never moves. You and I do. You know what? We're actually instructed to not be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to the image of the dear Son of God, our Savior, our rock. Amen. If this is the Lord, this about describes you and me, huh? Trash bag? That's not by design. It just happened that way. Is that conforming to that rock? A little bit. Is that conforming to that rock? I know I broke it. Took some stretching, didn't it? Took some effort. Is that conforming to that rock? Now see, we're not to be over here looking at the rock and fashioning ourselves and shaping ourselves where we match up. We're supposed to be in there and be jointly formed with the Lord. Do we have substance within ourselves? No. But we're fashioned after the rock. We have the rock within. Amen? Isn't that what salvation is having the Lord within? How about you and me? Be not conformed to the world. Don't be in there and be working to fashion yourself and follow after the way of the Lord and shaping and painting and coloring and moving around to line up with the world. But according to the plan of our Heavenly Father, be jointly formed with the Lord Jesus Christ, that close. With him inside, ruling and reigning. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In verse number 7, the scripture says in Philippians 3, the apostle tells about, and he warns about bewaring of dogs, and those of the concision, those that want to cut off. The circumcision, this Judaism that he's dealing with there in the churches of Galatia, and that's spread about even beyond that. He talks about the confidence he has in his flesh in verses 4 through 6. We'll not read that. You know about those things. But in verse number 7, we pick it up. But what things were gained to me, Philippians 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If it was a plus for me, it was a negative for my Savior. Think about it. Don't be conformed to the world. If it was a plus for me, he said, it was a negative for the Lord. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. To know about him, to know his working within me, within you, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that which would be put on the trash heap, that where these ones that are mentioned here in verse number 2, beware of dogs, those that are over there on the trash heap, those dogs, he said that it be, he said, I count it all but loss. What they have, I want nothing of, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what I want, he says. Listen, that I may know him, that I may know him up close and personal, being jointly formed with him, being stretched and conformed and being right over the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might be like him, that the world might see it, that I am like him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the promise of it, and one day the fulfillment of it, and the fellowship of his sufferings, what he endured for me, I may have to endure for him, but it'll be well worth it. What's it say? Being made conformable unto his death. The Lord did not die for himself, but he died for me. I need to die to myself for him. I have nothing to offer him for any kind of payment or repayment. But I am to give my life as a living sacrifice. To die, what that's speaking about is to die to self, self-will, to the world, to the way of the world. To die to self. The Bible says this, but I think, no, the Bible says that. God being my helper, I'm following it. Amen? Amen. That I might be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. The apostle's not saying, man, maybe I'll be resurrected, maybe I won't be. He's talking about knowing it and experiencing it and living it and being blessed with it now. Now. To enjoy the Lord, the blessing of the Lord and service to him and that rest in him and that freedom from guilt of disobedience and a lack of obedience to the Lord, to enjoy that being conformed to the likeness to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ now, to enjoy it, to get comfortable with it, to be blessed of the Lord in it. Being made conformable. This word, this Greek word, can also be said to render like or to assimilate. That as the Lord died for me, I might die to self for the service of him, for the witness of him. In Romans chapter 12, let's turn back there. And be not conformed, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, and be not conformed to this world, 1 John chapter 2. Where we read in verse number 15, let's read again. And be not conformed to this world, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen. And the world passeth away. If we're conforming ourselves to the world, remember, it's passing away. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. And you know what else is going to pass away? Everything that has been conformed itself to it is going to pass away too. Everything that has taken on the shape and the image and the likeness and the way and purpose of the world, it's going to pass away too with the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But listen, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you and I trying to live a life where we want to serve the Lord and have that claim of eternity with Him and that blessing and promise of that, but we want to enjoy the things of this world as much as we can, but not get in trouble with the Lord? Or are we just flat out sold out for the Lord and desiring to have that fellowship with Him and enjoying that fellowship with Him and that closeness with Him, that conformity with Him, that nearness to Him, that when the Lord comes, it'll just continue right on into eternity? I know that we're going to be changed, and I know we're going to be able to have fellowship with the Lord that it's impossible for us to have now because of this old man. But let us not discount the living of the Spirit of God within. We don't have like spirit second grade. We have the Spirit of God living within. May the Lord help us that we not conform ourselves to the world, but that we be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ.